commissioners who have particular expertise on this issue as well.
Yep. So who's the speaker on the multi-stakeholder? Wendy on both.
Wolfgang.
Yep. Do you want to briefly talk about what you say, and do we need to have other people ready to respond on that one?
I should say I've asked Wolfgang. I didn't get a response, so I'm not sure you saw my my request. But I was asking if you could be the primary discussant with the board on this particular topic, this particular issue, which is safeguarding the integrity of ICANN policy development process, including multi-stakeholderism, standing by community consensus, and the equality of stakeholders. So, I mean, I think really what we were trying to get at this point with this particular question is a number of things, one of which is, you know, once the community comes up with the policy recommendation, makes a commitment, that's what we stick with, and that's the consensus, and that's what we go forward with. We don't always, like some other members of the community, then try to take that compromise and then chip away at that by lobbying the board, by lobbying the GAC, and so continually chipping away at the compromise positions. So I think that's what we were getting at with this standing by community consensus issue, and then with respect to the equality of stakeholders, the thing we were talking about with Fadi the other day, that when it comes to non-commercial users, you know, some stakeholders are a little more equal than others at ICANN, and, you know, Fadi has assured us that we're entering into a new era of equality of stakeholders. So, you know, what that means to us, and that we expect parity with commercial users and the non-commercial users. So this was sort of, you know, kind of what when we sent this question to the board, where we had going with it. And I sent a note yesterday to Wolfgang, and I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, so I apologize if I'm just sort of... Okay, so I apologize if I'm springing this on you. Thank you. Thank you.
I think, you know, microphone. And I think for us, the introduction of this new term, equal stakeholder model, raises a number of questions. So that means what really means equality. And as you said, you know, some constituencies are seen themselves as more equal than others. And so that means it would be very nice, you know, to have a debate what is our understanding from the multi-equal stakeholder model. Because this is indeed an important dimension. We had so far the definition from the WIGIC, which says the stakeholders participate in their respective roles. At this time, Bill and Avri and I wanted to add in the definition in 2005 on equal footing. So, but this was eliminated. So an equal footing did not make its way in the definition. But now if it comes back, you know, with the CEO, so then they say, okay, stakeholders more or less equal. So this raises a number of very interesting conceptual questions. So that means this has to be seen in the context of the respective role and on equal footing. So, but I think for us it's an extremely important to take this and to fill it with content so that it does not remain just lip service when you start a new season. So, but it has to, you know, now Fasi has to deliver. And what does it mean concrete? This has to be seen. But we should develop a conceptual idea. What is our understanding of you know, multi-stakeholder model in their respective roles on equal footing? But I'm certainly ready to take the lead in this discussion.
Avery.
Yeah, Wolfgang, I actually think that's a great approach, and I think one of the things that you can actually do, and I'm hardly the one to be saying this, but actually thank Fadi for ICANN actually bringing back the with equal footing that was rejected, you know, so much earlier, and actually, you know, give ICANN the sort of gratitude for, you know, leadership in this multi-stake. Now, you know, obviously I should wash my mouth out with soap after all this gratitude, given my normal reputation. But I think that this is really a good place to grab on to what Fadi said and thank him for, you know, the ICANN leadership into this on an equal footing and in putting that back in, because that had been a difficult fight that hadn't been won yet. But to see ICANN leading the way on that is wonderful.
And hi, this is Carlos Afonso from the Getúlio Vargas Foundation. So sorry I missed the first part of our conversation. Just one thing to remind you all guys that can be helpful in the conversation with the board later today is that yesterday in the meeting, at the GAC board meeting, the Brazilian representative suggested that a study on how multi-stakeholder systems are being applied in different countries is made. So the suggestion was made by the Brazilian representative, and of course it has the Brazilian model on multi-stakeholderism at the CGIBR as one of the examples, but maybe we at NCUC could support the idea. I know that we had enough studies on a bunch of issues, and we have some examples from the Ruiz studies and studies of almost everything on the ICANN universe, but maybe a good study on how multi-stakeholderism has been applied in different countries could be something helpful, and we could have some good examples to fly around, especially examples in which third sector and civil society had played an important role, and I think Brazil is one of those examples. But this is just something that maybe we could support in our discussion with the board.
Bill?
The second question actually puts together two rather different, I think, sets of concerns. Safeguarding the integrity of the policy process, this is a kind of concern that's been raised consistently by the council generally, about council decisions being end-runded, people going and lobbying directly to the board and all that. And I think that's one conversation. I think the question of the quality of stakeholders is another conversation. And it has a number of different parts. So, however you want to do this, but I certainly would like to speak to it too. I have some specific points I'd like to raise. So I don't know if you want to, you know, we could split it or something, or you could just say and get this guy in too. But I would like to not have an incoherent conversation that blurs back and forth between two completely separate subjects. I think we do want to have a focused discussion of the quality of stakeholder groups in past and current models. And that's a separate question from whether the policy process at the level of the board is used to trump the GNSO or be a vehicle for end runs.
Wendy?
Shall we take up Bill's suggestion of segmenting our discussion to make that most effective?
Yeah, I mean that sounds okay to me. And we can have more than one speaker on these issues. Yeah.
There are resource dimensions. Right now we've already just heard yesterday that another constituency is getting funded to go to Baku to speak on a panel where NCUC members are not being funded to go. Okay? We have had constant problems with some have direct relations to senior staff and are able to work out deals and understandings and get levels of support. Others don't have that. Some stakeholder groups are very transparent and inclusive in what they do. You can go on the website, see who their members are, see all their discussions and so on. Other stakeholder groups and constituencies, that's not true. There's just a complete lack of conformity across these things, so that at this point the notion of multi-equal is a little bit hollow in some ways, and the point would be to suggest in a positive manner concrete steps that could be taken.
I think this has two dimensions, and probably it's indeed a good idea if we share the approach, because on the one hand, it's a theoretical question, a conceptual question. What is the understanding, the evolving understanding of the multi-stakeholder model? So I was also surprised to see yesterday or to hear in the GAC that nearly all governments express their support for the multi-stakeholder model. If you would ask them, you know, what is their understanding of the multi-stakeholder model, probably you would have got different answers. But even the Chinese and the Russian government said the multi-stakeholder model is a good model. So, and it remains to be seen, you know, how deep this goes and how the people sitting here from this government will inform other peoples which will go to Dubai that they will continue with this approach. But this is a more general political level. The other side is what means equality concrete in ICANN. So that means this is not the big policy question, it's the very concrete policy within ICANN. And probably, you know, Bill, you could concentrate on this more or less internal equality within ICANN. What does it mean? And I would, you know, speak to the further development of the concept by bringing back the question of equal footing into the definition, which was adopted by the World Summit in 2005. Is this a fair share?
Thank you.
I personally don't know what the advantage of referring back to the WIGIG process is in this context. It's almost ancient history, and that language was a result of a political negotiation. I mean, you and I are very into that, but for most other people, that's not a very lived dispositive document.
The point I wanted to raise and what Avery supported was to remember that in the discussion on the definition, the issue of equal footing was discussed but disappeared. And now it comes back. And I think this is a good reminder that the concept as such is not yet fully defined. So it's a concept which is evolving and with different understanding by different parties. And so Fazi brought a new element into the debate by referring to this equal footing, which is an interesting thing, and we should build on this.
I think it's clear that this issue is one where we have a lot to say. It's one of the ones that we're particularly interested in as regards the spending time on it in the board discussion. But I'd also like to say we are running pretty short of time, so I'd like to wrap this one up and move on to the next issue, if that's all right.
We've got three people in queue.
Yes. So I'll just finish up the queue, which is, you say, Wendy...
Wendy Avery.
Okay. Wendy, then.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask if we wanted to take the discussion up one level further. I've been increasingly concerned in the GNSO Council that the stakeholder silos and the constituency stakeholder house model is making it impossible for us to do any work. Perhaps reserved to a later discussion, does NCUC want to support a call to radically restructure the council and its mode of operation? But for this discussion, the less we can talk about stakeholder groups as silos and rather talk about equality of interests and participation, I think that will help us.
Next was Avery.
Quite quickly. One, I think that it's good to talk about this as an aspirational thing that we look at being, you know, considered in any future reviews of GNSO. Two, I advise we stay out of the weeds in this discussion, especially since it's at the NCSG level, about who has more influence and who gets more pennies and nickels and dimes. And that we continue that. That's certainly important, but I would stay out of those particular weeds in this particular discussion.
I wasn't suggesting to name names.
And last up was Robin, and Kathy wants to be okay, and then we'll end it there. Thanks.
Yeah, I want to support two things that Avery has said. One is staying out of the weeds. I think we want to keep this at a really high level. We don't need to give specifics about, well, they got travel funding and we didn't. We don't. Let's just get buy-in on these big concepts, and then when these issues come up, we can then benchmark them back to the buy-in on the concepts of equality. And I also want to support what... Avery and Wolfgang were saying about telling ICANN this is where you are having leadership. By bringing equality back between the stakeholders, ICANN is in a leadership role. They're doing. They're better than the ITU. They're better than the IGF and the other institutions that are dealing with internet governance issues because ICANN has made this commitment to equality of stakeholders. I think ICANN will love that. They will love to hear that. That's what they want to hear. That's what they should be doing. Let's encourage them. Let's congratulate them for recognizing this as being an important thing and thank them for that. So I just wanted to support that.
Kathy.
Yep. Okay. Wrong button. That one. What's the triangle then?
Okay.
Definitely want to support a positive message. Also wanted to point out that even though there are silos, a number of us in this room operate across silos and have even been members of other stakeholder groups and other things, so that we should, I mean, ICANN is works on relationships. And so let's just pointing out to whoever is in leadership, make sure you use the relationships that we have. And there's lots of goodwill for NCUC and NCSG out there at lots of levels of ICANN. So, you know, we can enjoy that.
Okay. Well, we were just about to end that topic anyway, and as it happens, right on cue, NomCom have arrived to speak to us. So, we have the chair-elect and previous 2012 chair, 2013 chair and chair-elect to speak to us, and other NomCom members. Please... take seats, and I would invite.
Yes.
Is it Vanda? Are you going to start?
Yes.
Okay.
We have some
microphone.
Hello. Thank you for having us here. We don't want to waste much of your time, but we have posted most of our procedures and recommendations and the final report about with all statistics and especially the matching issues that we have. I can show you up or we just can talk about that. It's the idea is our matching matrix was based on the recommendations we got from each AC and SO last year in Dakar and this year in Costa Rica. And we analyzed each candidate and, in two groups. One group is inside our committee, the other group is hired a professional organization to analyze each profile. So it was this matching matrix that is posted in our website is show you that how we each group the slate of board candidates and also the each candidate for GNSO, for CCNSO, and those candidates for ALAC matching the requirements the groups ask us to look for. So it was the idea of ATRT to explain how the NomCom have choose each candidate. So it was, and we are here now again for the 2013 to ask you again to analyze those requirements that you gave to us this year and check if there is any other comments, any other information or requirements or recommendations that you want to NomCom to pay attention when selected any candidate for the board and for your group, like the GNSO. So that is the general idea, and certainly we can respond to any question here, but I would like to give us some opportunity to Vero to address some words to you as a new chair for the 2013. Vero, please.
Thank you, Wanda. Good morning. Yrjö Länsipuro from ISOC Finland, and now the chair for the NOMCOM 2013. We have here the new chair-elect, Cheryl, and the new associate chair, Adam. Okay, I don't think that they need any more sort of presentation in this group. That is to say, the NOMCOM 2013 will start its work on Friday. We have quite an overlap, actually, between the two committees. There are 11 people who were already in the old committee and will continue now. And then we have new people. We are hampered at our first meeting by the fact that people from some parts of the world don't seem to get easily visas for Canada. And that is something that we have to try to do something about for the next meetings, because we try to be global, we try to be inclusive, and then what happens is that people just can't travel. But that's another matter. For our meeting, we will take the recommendations from the NOMCOM 2012 and go through them and try to see whether and how we could incorporate their elements into the rules or procedure of the NOMCOM. I would like to conclude by asking for your help, because our selections cannot be better than the candidate pool from where we operate. That is to say, I'd like to ask you, all of you, because all of you know people whom you think that would make a good director, ICANN, or members of various councils or committees. Please ask them to apply. Information on how to apply will be shortly up on the NOMCOM website. Thank you very much.
Does anyone else wish to speak to? Yep, Kathy.
Kathy Kleiman, and congratulations, and thank you for taking on the new role as chair. Quick question: does the way NOMCOM is working, does that change this year? Is that part of the changes? Is there anything new about your procedures that we should know?
I could answer that question after after Friday and Saturday. As I said, we take the recommendations and we see if there is a way to incorporate some of them. There's one change which is obvious from the calendar, because this coming year all ICANN meetings are historically late. I believe that there was never a spring meeting as late as the Beijing meeting will be, and this will actually impact our work quite heavily. Whatever other changes we may implement, that we know after we have our first meeting. Thank you.
The problem this 6 months certainly will impact the timeline. This year we have a huge impact with the new GTLDs because of the time where everybody was focused on the new GTLD end of, announces and so on. So after that we got 50 candidates, and after the announcement of the new GTLDs, remember, end of the March, beginning of April, it was, all the others came. So we have more than 50% extra after stopping this kind of, distraction from the NOMCOM. And certainly this 6 months period it's quite important because we are living now, and only 6 months after, people will really get in contact. And between this, you know, December holidays in some places and so on. So it was really need to, probably will impact the final announcement, because we'll need some postponement of the timeline to give the opportunity for everybody to really apply.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your incredible term as chair. Yeah.
Thank you. It was not easy, but a lot of fun.
Thank you. Wendy.
Thanks, and I think I just want to briefly say the NOMCOM is, of course, an important part of ICANN procedurally and substantively, and I think to help the community appreciate the work that NOMCOM do, I would advocate the greatest amount of transparency humanly possible. There's been a lot of turmoil around the NOMCOM. We from the outside have no way of knowing how much of that is merited, but the more you can do in public, I think the more confidence and trust of the community you can earn.
Cheryl, do you want to repeat?
Thanks, David. Cheryl Langdon-Orr again. Wendy, as you all know, because you were in the same room as I was, we heard these requirements for as much transparency as is possible during the ATRT experiences as well. As I said in another room earlier today, NOMCOM was the subject of community input to the Accountability Transparency Review Team, almost equal to any other subject. So I think NOMCOM is very aware, I think, under its tutelage of various chairs, it's done what it can to make more and more change, and I suspect if you watch this space, you'll continue to see change. It is limited by what it can do in terms of confidentiality, but whatever it can possibly do to make things both as transparent and as public as possible, because they're kind of two different things sometimes, I'm sure it will do, especially in the challenges that have been put down publicly for us at the moment. Thank you.
Maria?
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Vanda and Irio. I was the non-commercial users constituency person on the NOMCOM last year. For anyone who doesn't know, three things to say. One, Thomas Reichert, who is a previous NOMCOM appointee to the GNSO Council, is an individual that some of the NCUC people on the council have nominated for election as chair of the council, and so I think it's a good signal that, you know, there can be very, very good appointments, and I think it's a good source of talent. Secondly, could you give us information about which regions of the world the board directors for next year are being sought, because that will help us to put the word out amongst our networks to try and source good non-profit people in senior positions that could potentially be strong candidates. And thirdly, I guess I do have a little bit of an axe to grind in that I really would hope and encourage this year's committee to work very hard to ensure that, particularly when you're looking at putting people on the GNSO Council, that the people you're looking at putting on don't have alternative routes to a seat on the council via any of the constituencies in a very obvious way, and that they are, you know, people that we can be confident from the get-go, without them having to prove themselves, who will not have come to the council with an implicit set of biases in the very, very, very contested environment that we're working in. You know, it's called a spade a spade. Let's not put people on the council who look like they should belong to one of the constituencies already and be put there via that method. So be aware, the council is you know, very carefully constructed, and just please do try and keep in mind all of the various political complications that ensue from there. Thank you.
Yeah, you can say because
about the geographical, I mean, the you all know what the geographical balance is now and what it will be. Of course, the NOMCOM, as you well know, having served on the NOMCOM, the requirement is that there has to be one board member from each of the five regions, and on the other hand, you can't have more than five members from one region. And within those limits, of course, the NOMCOM is theoretically free to act however it finds reasonable. I think that, there's been a lot of talk about Africa, and I think we should, this year, or 2013, we should look especially hard at Africa, and that means that we also need to make a great outreach effort on that continent. But of course, I mean, otherwise, you know, this we know 1 year from now. Thank you.
Just conclude that there is no limit, you know. Like this year, we should select someone from Latin America. It was our demand because the only member from the board that was, it was in the end of the term from Latin America. So we needed to select those kind of people. And but for the next year, we're going to have three members from 2013. It was Bertrand, Shirin, and Erica. So it's two from Europe and one from Africa, and so those are the positions that are open for that. Yes, please, over there.
Apri.
Sorry, I didn't realize I was already in the queue. I guess there's one thing that I've noticed that perhaps NOMCOMs have trouble with, and that's getting sort of on anyone who is currently a NOMCOM appointee in any of the things, being able to get references on them from their current chairs and vice chairs, because by getting a reference on someone, you might be revealing that someone is a candidate. And so I'd like to recommend that before you start collecting candidates, you get recommendations from the current chairs, vice chairs of all the appointees whose terms are up, whether they're planning to continue or not, so that you can get that at a neutral time and a non-prejudicial time when you're not making any presumptions about announcement. Thank you.
Yeah, one thing that the BGC from the governance committee from the board just said to me that they will do beforehand is to make information openly about the performance of the three interim members of the board without any, concern about if they will apply or not. Just send to the NOMCOM their ideas about performance of each one of those members. I believe that is it was in our minds all the time, and I just have this feedback from last night from Bruce. So I do believe that is answer your question.
Follow up, will that happen also with ALAC, GNSO, and CCNSO?
Do we have any further questions for NOMCOM or further speakers?
Hi, Adam Peak. I understand that Rafiq is your delegate to the NOMCOM this year, so please help him. As Yurio said, we just need names of candidates as much as anything else, and ideas, people that we can select from. better the pool, the better the chance we have of giving good candidates. So support the young man and give them ideas and candidates, and it'll be fun to work with him too. Thank you.
Thank you for that call for support and expression of support, Adam. Do we have any further questions? And particularly, do we have anyone who wants to comment on the question we were brought about? How you specifically asked us about candidate choice criteria. Do we have anyone who wants to comment on that specifically?
You don't have a time also to review what you asked us as a requirement last year and give feedback about that. Yeah. And send to Eero all the information you want to add or withdraw or whatever. Feel free to do that.
Yep, I mean, I think our main comment, I think, would be to generally... my personal comment, anyway, would be to echo Maria's in that we should be careful not to... Consider whether candidates have alternative routes to the board that, or the position that might be effective, and make sure we get people we would not otherwise have got, or not clearly in particular identified with a existing group or so on. Okay, do we have any further comment, Robin?
Yes, I just wanted to make a sort of a request of the nominating committee to take into consideration the way that the structure of the nominating committee and who its membership base are. And, you know, at this point, we've only got one member of the nominating committee that represents the non-commercial users constituency and non-commercial users generally. So we have found it very frustrating as members of the non-commercial community to actually get our candidates any support within the nominating committee because it is often has much more business representation and other supporting organizations representation. So I would like to ask of the nominating committee to sort of, you know, take that into consideration, that it's really hard for us to get non-commercial users in there because of the way the structure is set up, and to take that into account when you're evaluating these applications and strongly consider non-commercial users for a lot of these positions, because we have a really hard time getting support for them within the nominating committee in the past. Thanks.
Thank you. Of course, the composition of the nominating committee is not in our hands, but there will be at some point there will be a review of the nominating committee again, and I am sure that the question of the composition is something that will come up. And thank you otherwise for your comment.
Yeah, it is notable actually that there's. I mean, while this is that there is no NPOC representative, which means there's.
It's coming.
Yeah.
We ask it and we address the...
Yeah, you address it, yeah. But which of course, is not this constituency, but is a non-commercial, yeah. Maria, again?
Sorry, just to follow on to what David said a minute ago, I think the point is also about candidates who have alternate routes to the board and to the GNSO Council should maybe... I'm not saying put them aside, but I'm just saying let's look at bringing on fresh people that won't necessarily disrupt the balance, both in the board, but also particularly in the council, where it's really quite structurally delicate.
Just remember that this year for the GNSO, we need to select 2 vote members.
Is there anyone else want to comment further? And if no, I think we're probably done. Yeah. Thank you very much for your time.
And thank you for receiving us. And please send your recommendations and make sure that all those points are really right on and to be in the metrics for the next year. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. right. Well, actually, do we not do it? Let's have just a very short break, and then we'll get back onto policy issues. By short, I mean 5 minutes or less. Thanks. I realize not everyone's back, but we've got fairly little time, so let's get started again. Everyone, could we please get started again? Okay, just working our way quickly. Just a reminder, we've only got less than half an hour now, so could we please push forward fairly quickly with each one of these? I'd like to request everyone to be succinct. The next question of our proposed topics to the board was including human rights concerns in the ICANN policy development process. And that was Avery's question. And Rafiq, well, perhaps we'll leave that one to when Avery gets back. Yep, Rafiq, you want to say something?
If you remember, you recall in Prague, we talked, maybe we need to encourage ICANN to join the GNI initiative and the framework. Yeah. I already started to be in touch with GNI folks and to see how we can work on that. So just to, it's an update to share with you this information. I just started like 2 weeks ago and to see how we can do it.
That's great. And I guess is there anything that comes out of that you would need for the board discussion, or is that just to generally update the constituency?
It's for to update to the constituency, but we can tell the board that there is some interest from GNI and see how we can work on that. But it's not that, it's just optional at this level.
Okay, well, that's it. I'll leave that until Avery's back. Next, so then there's the question the board asked us. One is any additional input on the Who Is Policy Review Team final report? Yep, which is Wendy was to respond.
Yep, so Council is submitting a letter around the procedural aspects on the substantive questions of the Who Is Review Team final report. I think that we find ourselves aligned with the SSAC, which submitted a report saying that before you can answer any of the questions that the Who Is Review Team purports to address, you need to address the prior question, what is the purpose of Who Is data collection and use, and all work on the Who Is question should be stopped until this prior question is answered, and I believe we would strongly support that.
So that is to say we are going to put a position that is separate to the general GNSO position, and we are in agreement with SSAC.
Yes, just to clarify, the GNSO is so far only responding procedurally on whether a policy development process is required. We've also found ourselves outliers there, arguing that PDP is required to address these issues, but we also would say that
many of them should not be taken up at all, but rather first we should ask why.
Would it be fair to say that that's a somewhat critical position to take off the WHOIS review team for not answering that question in the review?
It's a challenge to the framing of the task that was adopted.
Right.
I apologize for missing this. If there's a question about the WHOIS review team, I'd be happy to answer it.
No, I just Kathy, do you have any comments about the WHOIS review?
I hate to ask. Can you review like what just happened?
Very briefly, we're going to endorse the SSAC report.
Okay, the SSAC report is not deemed to be negative of the WHOIS review team.
Great.
Okay. Do we have? Is there anything else that anyone thinks we should be saying about the WHOIS review team?
Yeah, I'd like to object to the idea that everything has to go through a PDP on the WHOIS review team. That's being taken very negatively. Obviously, some of the stuff we intended was for policy development, like proxy privacy, and we never use the word accreditation, guys, and I'm really concerned about accreditation. We use best practices, that you could develop some proxy privacy best practices and then kind of shop them around and see if you could get people to sign on. So that's a PDP, but some of the stuff is kind of pretty pure implementation. And it doesn't really need to go through PDP.
Right. I know there's a range of views in the GNSO about how much of that report needs to go through a PDP. I mean, some say none, some say all, some say somewhere in between. Do we want to present a view on that to the board?
On which?
On the question, do we have a strong opinion on exactly which things need, do we believe everything needs to go through a PDP? Is that the position we're taking, or some, or
in the absence of other input, we have said everything requires PDP.
Right. Okay.
Okay, tell me when and where, and we can go through every recommendation, because it's ridiculous. We are out in the world of saying everything goes through a PDP, and that's just, it's kind of silly, because not everything is policy in that in our recommendation.
Well, I mean, we need to probably we should clearly then talk a little bit more about that. But I'm just concerned about what we are going to say this afternoon. So,
this afternoon, I do not plan to address the procedural question of whether it requires a PDP or not. I plan to say we endorse the recommendations made by SSAC.
Okay, that seems pretty clear. Shall we move on to the next issue? Avery still not being here, the next issue would be the board has asked us about...
SSAC, that's who...
Yes, the Security Stability and Review Drafting Team, which I'm planning to answer. I was on that team.
But
I don't think there's anything in that recommendation that we're particularly in that report that NCUC is particularly concerned about. It says a lot of things, but mostly it says we should have more. Mostly to very very briefly summarise it, that the security and stability processes need to be made very visible to the community. That we need a clear security plan, one of its major recommendations was that we need explicit risk management, and that the board has somewhat preempted that by even before we delivered the report, they'd already decided to create the board risk management working group, which we strongly endorsed. Yep, Robin?
Okay, so I would sort of add to this along the lines of, the board, the ICANN community talks security, the internet, that's our goal. And yesterday during the DNS abuse session, somebody said, I think we're really framing this issue wrong when we just talk about security. We're talking about the health of the internet. And, yes, security is a big part of that, but really it's the health of the internet that's our big goal. So if, maybe there's some way we could tie this in, because, I hear all this, oh my God, we got to get things secure, and it's kind of scary to me. So how about we got to get things healthy?
I think that's a good comment, that it's not necessarily directly relevant to the report. But Wolfgang?
I fully support Robin's intervention, but we should be careful. You should not forget that the Chinese government is using this terminology, the healthy internet, as a key concept. So that means if you introduce the health of the internet as a key conceptual element, so you produce probably some misunderstandings, or you feed, you know, other parties which have a different understanding, you know, what a healthy internet is or not. So while I fully acknowledge, you know, that we have to look for, you know, to go away from putting security on the first place and to put it, to turn it into a positive language. But this terminology, the healthy internet, is already occupied by the Chinese government.
It's a good point. Does
that mean we're going to sing?
I just wanted to. The idea of the security is the terminology in which it's around security and increasing dialogue about cybersecurity is certainly a really interesting one. It's not one that was addressed in the report, though, so I don't think we need to. I don't know that that is necessarily what the board are asking. Stability and resiliency are included there. One other thing I was planning to say is that I noticed that Fadi has made himself personally responsible for compliance, and compliance in particular is a key resiliency. Has a lot to do with that resiliency, and as well as the other requirements. To say the stability and resiliency parts are just as important as security, and that, you know, we're pleased to see that that is being taken very seriously. Generally, I think the conclusion of that also was that we are one of the things that reports, and we are in general, we were. The review team was quite happy with the operation of ESSAC and with ICANN security staff, even though they have had they haven't had the best year. Do we have any other questions on that one, or should we move on? I guess we'll move on. And the last issue to come up there. Three more issues. Yes, feedback on the responses to the call for input on impact of the new GTLD program on ICANN structure and processes. Discussion on how to move forward. Milton.
Yes. So yeah, the board is very aware of the fact that the introduction of hundreds of new domain name registry operators and the vertical integration of registries and registrars has the ability to change the nature of the GNSO's politics. In other words, currently the representational structure is based on, you have a sharp registry-registrar distinction. And you have this distinction between so-called consumers or users of domains, which includes business users and trademark owners, and the suppliers of domain name services. Now, when you have brand TLDs, you have blurred the boundary between the consumer and the supplier. In effect, the major brands, and I think this is a healthy phenomenon, are supplying themselves with their own domain, top-level domain service. So there are issues about whether the GNSO needs to be reformed yet again. And there will be a GNSO review. So I think the board at this stage is just interested in ideas and concerns being expressed about what should be done about this, if anything. And if anybody's given that more thought than I have, they should speak.
Wendy, then Wolfgang.
I'd
I think the GNSO needs to be totally revamped, and that the siloed constituency and stakeholder group and house structure needs to be done away with. We need to get away from voting on party lines and toward consensus finding and out-of-the-box thinking. How we say that in a way that's useful to the board, I've been trying to articulate how we can get reform of a bottom-up structure catalyzed from the top but not dictated from the top. So because council has shown itself to be incapable of even acknowledging that council is broken, where it's obvious to anyone on the outside that council is where things get sent to die because we're incapable of working through a PDP. So how can we restructure and reform without it just being an imposition of another broken structure from the top, but get people to recognize, let's fix things ourselves?
Yeah, I don't know whether this is the right place to share a concern which I've heard the last couple of days in various forms, and this is about, you know, the new players which will join sooner or later the GNSO, and here in particular the discussed issue is the future role of Google in ICANN. There is a rumor that originally Larry Page wanted to have 1,000 new top-level domains only for Google. And there was a group around him who watered him down to 100 and said, you know, this is enough. And now say this is under negotiations. And there is, even among the big players in ICANN, including very senior affiliates, there is a concern that they say, okay, what will happen if Google... You know, because Google has a totally different business model for the domain names. So that means they are interested more in traffic, not in selling domain names. And so that means what will happen if they give it away for free, 100 domain names, and shift the whole business model, you know, of the DNS from the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. So I think this could be some, you know, it's a subject of speculation at the moment. Nobody knows really what will happen. But one thing is for sure, that we will, in the next 2 years, we will be confronted with a lot of, let's say, innovative forms, and we should be prepared, to face these new challenges and to look, you know, what all these new players, which were so far not part of the processes within ICANN, what they will do, how they will, accept the multi-stakeholder model, or whether they want to use this platform to make their special cases and individual businesses. So I don't know whether this is the right place, but you know, I thought it probably it's we have to raise the question. So I do not expect an answer, and probably it's all not the place here to discuss it. But I wanted to share the concerns I heard the last couple of days.
I think that is precisely the kind of concern that they want to hear about. I do believe there will be business model changes. I actually welcome those changes. I think it would be pathetic if the GNSO structure and the GNSO policies were set up to protect a cartel of existing registries and their existing business models. And the fact that a new company can come in and kind of upend things is probably a good sign. But it does raise issues about the representational structure of policy making. I want to take issue with Wendy, however. I do believe that there are problems with the current structure, but this sort of... I think I've heard this before from the GNSO improvement groups and from Susan Crawford, that if we just didn't have these structures, we would all go into working groups and come up with consensus. I think that is just not a realistic view. There are material interests in conflict with respect to, for example, trademark owners and registrars, and the the representational structure may make it hard to get beyond those, but they're going to be there in some form or another, no matter how the GNSO is structured, or even if there is a GNSO. And I think one thing we have to be very careful of is that we've just gotten this hard-won reform of the GNSO where the representation is more balanced, so that we actually have some kind of a voice in it that is structurally protected. And just throwing it away after basically a year after it comes into place again strikes me as something that makes me nervous.
Robin, and then I'll put myself in the queue after Robin, and then Wendy, did you want to speak again? Yeah.
Thanks. So I want to make 2 points. First, I want to support what Milton has said about how hard we fought for parity in the GNSO between the commercial and non-commercial users, and so let's not do anything that will change that. So, you know, I definitely want GNSO reform, but the parity part is not the part that needs to be changed. But on this question of, you know, the impact of the new GTLD program on ICANN, one of the concerns that I have is this influx of brands that are all now coming to ICANN and trying to join all the various constituencies and all the different stakeholder groups. So we're seeing, you know, some of the registries are being taken over by brands, the registrars, other stakeholder groups as well. So I think we need to be cognizant of this has opened up opportunity for the trademark interests to really come back in full force and to play a much more active role in the policy development process, and so that needs to be contained, that we need to make the board aware that with all of this brand and new GTLDs processes and applications that we're seeing, I'm concerned that this will lead to far more favorable policies to trademark holders and far less favorable policies to individual registrants and non-commercial users in the GNSO policy development process. Thanks.
Okay. So I'm just going to briefly say, yeah, I think there's a very strong case that the changing makeup of the GNSO will have to change and adapt in some manner. It's going to have a lot of pressures on the existing structure. I think what we should say to the board is that we think there is a clear case for change in the GNSO, and we encourage them to take very seriously maintain the existing representation of especially non-commercials, but of non-contracted parties generally, I think, but certainly non-commercials to be sure. Does anyone else have any comments on this? Oh, Wendy, of course. Did anyone else on the queue?
Wendy. Thanks. And I think this is a subject for longer discussion. I'd like to discuss it further because I think while nominally we have balanced representation, in practice what that has meant is that everything is declared as a 75% consensus in favor of the commercial plus contracted parties. And given that we are then always a minority in our House and in the Council, we never get effective impact on anything. This has sort of taken away from our ability to negotiate places where we agree with the registrars and registries, which happen more often than agreement with our fellow House members, the commercial stakeholders, in the current arrangement. And I'm far from thinking that abolishing voting and going back to consensus will make us all happy and content, but I do think that unlocking the ability to collaborate across stakeholder lines could lead to better solutions.
Do we have any other comments? I just want to say, I mean, with all of these discussions, we need to be focused on what we are going to say to the board. So the last, apart from, we're still waiting for Avery to come back and talk about, Bill?
The one point that I would really like to emphasize, whether it's during this question or in the question about equality, whichever, is the concern about whether or not it is possible to get into all stakeholder groups equally and form constituencies. I want to problematize this CSG thing that locks out. They spend so much time attacking us and saying we're not representative and we're not this, we're not that. The fact of the matter is we're far more diverse than they are, have more members, so on, right? So that bothered me. But in a particular context, you know, when you've got people like these telecenters who, you know, coming to us because it's hard to go into there, you know, that's just wrong. I mean, you know, I think all the stakeholder groups have to have an obligation to be open to real constituency proposals rather than saying, no, we don't entertain those. Otherwise, you just incent everybody to go forum shopping and end up trying to get into places where it's wrong and not a fit, and then you have a conflict over that, and, you know, it's a ridiculous mechanism. So there has to be parity there.
Thanks, Bill. We're running very short of time. The last two items on this list for discussion with the board, rather than having a summary of the existing position from the person nominated to speak on it, just say, is there anyone else who wants to say something about these two items, which are the human rights concerns, which I know we've discussed a lot. So I just want to say, if anyone who's not been involved in existing discussion wants to add something to that, would like to hear it. Same with the issue of declaring patents in policy development. Robin, and then Wendy, then...
Do we have an assignee?
Wendy.
Excuse me. If we don't have an assignee on talking about patents, I'm happy to say something brief about that.
Carlos?
Dave, I was leaving that for the any other business, but just to make a point here, in the last meeting we had with the board, we made an invitation for them to join us for the workshop in the IGF on human rights and ICANN. And so far we received no response from them. So it will be a good idea for us to remind them about this invitation. We mentioned that personally in the last ICANN meeting. We sent a couple of emails to them on that. I spoke with Bertrand during our session last Friday. He said he was willing to participate in our workshop, but he is running a workshop at the very same time in Baku, so he will not be available to attend. So maybe it will be a good idea for us just to remind the board about it.
Would you be willing to bring that up in the discussion?
Yeah, sure.
Great. Okay, do we have any more discussion on those policy issues? Because we've got about a minute or two to discuss any other business. So, Milton.
Just a point. Can I read a summary of what I took away from the discussion very quickly? Take about
yep.
a minute? Okay, so, number one, we welcome... this is to tell the board, right? We welcome disruption of traditional registrar business model. Do not think the GNSO or its policy should be structured to preserve that. We agree that the non-contracted party house is not functional, and we think that that needs to be looked at in some way, but we don't want to do so in a way that disrupts the balance of representation. We have some concern about the impact of brand TLDs and overlapping representation across SGs and constituencies. We have concern about gridlock on the council. Is that right? Anything I missed?
Thanks, Milton. Sounds great.
We feel there is a strong need for change. Well, there will be a strong need for change in GNSO with the influx.
So, excuse me. I guess this is just a reminder of something that someone else said earlier, that this will come up in the SG meeting that we have after lunch. So it would be a matter for the SG to decide who speaks and on what topics, right? And perhaps it would be an opportunity for constituencies to say something.
Yes, it's true. We still have... some opportunity to... We're responding as an SG, but it's NCUC can respond separately to any of these questions. But, yeah. Is there any other business?
I come back to the very first point. It was the planned Beijing meeting. It was more or less decided, and it would be good if we decide on a conference chair or what else, so that we go out here with a clear decision, so that otherwise we lose another 4 or 6 weeks until we have a clear team which is ready to operate.
That's about the you were talking about the Beijing policy conference?
Yes.
Yep. I don't think we need to decide that at this meeting. Do we have any other business? Carlos, did you want to talk about you did talk about the IGF. Yeah, about the IGF panel. Brendan.
Brendan, do we have 4 minutes? Can I show a video? Rafiq is prominently in a multi-stakeholder video. Do we have 4 minutes for that?
Well, I think we might close. Perhaps we'll close the meeting and then you can show the video. Is
okay.
That right?
We just finished a video called the Google Multi-Stakeholder Storytelling Project, and after the meeting closes, we'll show it. Rafiq is in it, and he's brilliant. And it was something I filmed in Prague with people all over the world talking about why they participate in ICANN.
All right. But
I want you guys to see it.
So if you talk to Brenton about that, but there being no other business, I think we're probably in a position to close the meeting.
Excuse me.
So, what have we got?
Hi, this is Robin. I just wanted to remind everyone this afternoon is the NCSG open meeting, so all of us in this room, in the NCUC, as well as all of the people in the NPOC come together in the afternoon, and we have our NCSG meeting together, and that meeting goes on from 13:30 to 15:30 in the boards. No, I'm sorry. Let me tell you the meeting room in a second. I don't have that one right in front of me. Give me 1 second to tell you that. Pier 2 and 3, it is this one. Okay.
And I'm just going to, there were a couple of policy issues that were listed on the agenda that we didn't get to. Those can, generally, I'm assuming that means that we have nothing specifically NCUC, and we're going to discuss those in NCSG. Some of them, which I know we actually do have a fair bit of agreement with NPOC, I think. Okay. Yep, at the end there.
I just wanted to say, that was what I think there's at least one issue that wasn't discussed, and I understand why, but also just to volunteer that I am with the Federation, the International Federation, happy to discuss with anyone any of the issues related to the Red Cross, Red Crescent emblem and designations, and I'm here for the next few days and happy to discuss it. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, I think that issue is likely to come up in NCSG, so we will discuss that. Okay. One last final call. Is there any other business?
Yes,
there is.
Yes.
Kathy has some.
This came up in the NCSG Policy Committee meeting, and I wanted to put out a call for anyone who wants to help on some of the intellectual property rights issues in new top-level domains. We spent many years, we, NCUC, spent many years negotiating, trying to get in due process and freedom of speech and fair use and freedom of expression and into the rules. And now there are questions about implementation. It's a good problem to have. We want to see that they implement what we worked on. But we have too few people working on it. So I want to know if there's anyone in the room that's familiar with intellectual property rights, trademark issues, and wants to help me defend due process. Wolfgang, are you volunteering? Others, please. We need several people.
And let me just underline Kathy's call for assistance on this issue, needing more help on intellectual property rights issues, because there's a lot of these issues happening right now. And since Konstantinos left to go with ISOC, we've really got a hole here. And people participating remotely, people at home, this applies to you also. We need more IP people working on these issues. So please see Kathy, see David, see me, see any of our counselors, and we'll get that going. Thank you.
Any other volunteers, Carl?
Kathy, sign me up. Like, I don't have like a lot of time to spend on that, but certainly I can be some help.
Thank you.
And just like I said, this might be an issue we want to, in the discussion about the importance of protecting the policy process, this is one where a long, arduous policy process came up with some pretty clear policy that is being, well, suddenly once it hits implementation, policy changes are being slipped into the implementation process. And we would like to object to that fairly strongly. That might be something to bring up.
Or push for what we've got. We're actually in the good seat of defending.
Defending existing policy and not letting it be changed in the implementation.
And don't worry, we'll teach. We'll teach. Okay. We know exactly where we are. But
all right. That being the final one, only 8 minutes over time, I'm going to declare this meeting closed. And thank you all very much for your attendance. And if you hang around for a few minutes, maybe we'll get to see this video. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Is Rafik singing on a video?
This is a video that starring Rafik, our superhero that Kathy...
I think he's singing in the video, isn't he?
Oh, he's singing in the video.
Yeah, I think so.
That Kathy worked on in Prague to talk about why people get involved in ICANN. So if we'd all like to see our superhero on the screen and why folks should get involved in ICANN, let's watch the video.